Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Josh Fifield. He's the account executive for Clark Insurance. We're going to be talking about risk in the employment world, especially the cyber liability that employers and HR professionals need to be aware of. Then we're going to be talking with Murray Johansson. He's the president of Legacy Corporate Services, and his topic is transformational leadership, how to get it done, and some of the risks that are involved. And we're talking to Josh Fifield. He is account executive for Clark Insurance here in Portland, Maine. Josh, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You know, one of the things that certainly HR professionals, business leaders have to deal with is risk. And risk is certainly something that we deal with every day. Heck, getting out of bed is a risk. But in this particular case, we're talking about risk to an organization, risk to an HR professional. So tell me a little about some of the risks and maybe some of the market conditions that are out there right now that people may not have thought of. Hey, that really does affect the HR world.
Well, that's a variety of a large scope of variety right there, because here risk happens every day, whether we're watching on the weather and we're seeing what affects us, how we're going to get dressed for the day, how we're going to go out, how we're going to prepare for our day. It's a mental condition that we have even before we get to the office, even as our employees integrate into the commute to get to the office. You know, there's a risk of actually getting there. So you have an automobile risk, you know, while you're driving to or making errands while you're in the course of the day. And then you're actually at the office itself. And, you know, while you're preparing for your day, and everyone's bodies are different. Everyone gets adjusted differently to their day. Everyone takes a little longer to wake up, maybe, even after some coffee. Maybe you have a few extra cups. Maybe that just takes you a little bit longer to get adjusted to how you're going to settle into your desk. And there's all kinds of factors that are involved there that an employer would want to look at. You know, how best can they accommodate the employee to help minimize their risk? What controls can they put in place in a written way that helps the employees understand what's the best practice that they should be taking? And what environmental factors are they doing to thinking about how to protect, say, their employees' best interest? Are they protecting their information, such as from a security breach in that regards, which can be very damaging to the organization and to the employee as well?
So we're talking about a number of different risks that are out there. So, you know, let's take a couple of those specifically. So we're talking about an individual that comes in and they're at their desk. They are dealing with typing on the computer. They're dealing with, visual cues from the screen and everything. And there's certainly VDT training and different things that need to be done. But tell me about how that can be actually a risk. I mean, an employer might say to themselves, I would think they're pretty safe sitting in a cubicle just typing away on their keyboard. What's really the risk with that?
That's a great point, and it's maybe something overlooked compared to someone who's working in a more high-hazard field, quote-unquote, say a construction field or driving a truck for a living. You can be hurt just as bad, if not worse, while sitting at your computer. Ergonomics is a huge key that the employer is thinking about from protecting their employees, and are they managing that risk with, you know, utilizing, say, the workers' comp carrier to help give them a perspective of, are we best ergonomically setting up the cube for or their desk for their employee? You know, one of the larger types of workers' comp claims that are out there for more office-type employees is carpal tunnel. And carpal tunnel obviously affects your wrists and your hands, and it's from typing the same position or sitting in an awkward position all day, and it can start with stress in the neck. You know, it could start with, like, the sunlight or the glare coming off of the computer screen. A cold condition, all these factors could lead up to someone who's just putting too much pressure and squeezing on their fingers. And over time, that cumulative trauma can be quite expensive when we're talking about a medical expense to the employer on a workers' comp.
And so there are obviously ways to try to mitigate that and try to help that. From an insurance standpoint, are there policies or are there protections for the employer that they can look at if they're doing the right thing? Because I maintain, and I've said it many times on this show,
Most employers want to do the right thing. Most employers want to make sure that people are taken care of. Most employers want to have happy, healthy employees. And the ones that don't, we're not even going to talk about, because that's an obvious statement. But the fact is that we don't know what we don't know. And there's only limited resources, only limited funds. And you can buy a battery of insurances that you may or may not ever use. And that's the reality of the marketplace today. So share with us what, you know, somebody might look at, or some of the factors behind why somebody might actually make these actual decisions to carry that type of insurance.
Well, in regards to, great question, in regards to workers' compensation insurance, in the state of Maine, it's required as soon as the employer has one employee. So as soon as there's, whether it's a part-time or a full-time employee, you know, that requirement is a state law, and that goes individually by each of the states. Until there's a federal mandate that actually has all of the states kind of working in unison together, it's on a case-by-case basis how each individual one is adjusted. So the employer is already doing that in advance. The next steps are more of a risk management, more of a risk control, because employers or larger employers that have a certain premium size do have a mechanism that's part of their premium that's just tied to their safety. So the number of claims that they would have or injuries that may occur while they're on their workers' comp policy go into the effect of whether or not it's a debit and or a credit to their premium. A safe working environment, helping their employees either get back to work, return to work, or have less injuries is obviously going to give them a positive experience rating, which will hence return money or have them less cost for their premium. It's also an efficiency standpoint, as we know. Having a key employee off for a period of time while they're not working, it's hard to find someone to replace them on a quick basis like that.
When you're talking about, in this case, insurance, the role of the insurance agent really does play a big role in this, in terms of helping maybe small businesses, HR professionals who have benefits or have insurance as part of their area. And I know a lot do here in Maine, because we are certainly a small business state. But even nationally, when I, you know, because this show certainly covers a larger area, I think that, you know, people understand that the agents, you get a lot of information. And kiddingly, you can say you can bring in five different agents and have probably five different answers, but you can do the same with accountants and attorneys. So the question would be, how do you go about making sure that that role of the agent, that carrier, is one that you can research and really know about?
Great question. There is some great resources available to the HR world. You know, when they were looking at either hiring an insurance agency, you know, one of the ones that our company prides itself on is being a member of the Trusted Choice organization, and it's a best practices of insurance agencies. There's tests that we have to meet to get involved with it. There's a lot of protocols that we have to have in place in order to actually qualify and be a part of that organization. And I think it's an interesting one too, because the way our structure of our insurance agency is set up is that of an employee-owned agency. And I think, well, like any organization that's looking about who they're choosing as their vendor, it's interesting to know maybe a little bit more about the company that they're looking to work with. And the reason why I bring up an employee stock ownership company like we are is we feel that there's that benefit to the employees that, you know, they are conscientious of the cost of what it takes to do the business, whether they mail a large envelope or a small envelope. And that trickles down into how we're developing the programs for our customers and or our small businesses, because A, they're stressed for time, they're stressed for the funds, and we certainly understand that while we're developing the program. We want to make sure it's cost beneficial for everyone.
You know, certainly there have been a lot of national things that have happened out there, from violence that's happened to storms such as Superstorm Sandy that happened a little while ago. There's a lot of national news having to do with tragedy, and I guess when you think about it, that is what the news is all about, really, is about things that are happening. But the reality is that day in, day out, there are so many employers that deal with little risk or wonder to themselves, is this really something I should pay for? What do you tell them when they ask those questions?
Well, there's if we all paid for all the insurances in the world, possibly A, we wouldn't be able to afford them, and B, we would never get out of bed and get into our cars to go to the office. And when we're best advising customers and or businesses on how best to structure the insurance program, is that there are certain things that are required by state law that start, obviously, and then from there, we almost have to kind of to go out to come back in. We need to learn exactly what the customer has for exposures and learn about their business, be integrated, get the information that to learn, you know, what is the possibilities out there. Majority of the time, there are new exposures that pop up all the time, and we get questions a lot like, you know, should I be worried about cyber liability, theft of data, breaches, hackers getting into our accounts and stealing employee information or stealing our customers' credit card information? And the short answer is absolutely. As the insurance market develops new products and it takes time for them to kind of get those in place, the premiums are on a high level. And at what point does the customer get into the coverage? At what point do we enter in or do we try to find other avenues to either adjust what coverages we're paying for now, or do we kind of move it into another bucket, so to speak, to help with that coverage? And that takes a lot of working directly with the HR person, the CFO, with the agent itself, so that on a quarterly basis, annual basis, semi-annual basis, there's that review. It's not just happening at renewal time. It's happening throughout the year so that we can best advise, you know, when we can get into that.
Well, I think certainly this is an ongoing process. There's no question about it. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about cyber liability. It's a new real risk. And I think that this will be a great topic. So stay tuned. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right, General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does it mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-96-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-96-STEEL. That's 866-967-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-96-STEEL today.
You have to plan for your family's future. But where can you turn for affordable legal protection you can trust? LegalZoom.com. You'll find wills and trusts to make sure your family is protected. Or if you're starting a business, you can form an LLC, incorporate, and more. You can even have an attorney review your document through their legal plans available in most states. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but you can use it to find an attorney and get self-help services at your specific direction. For more savings, enter Brilliant in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
Hey, parents. When we drive, our children should be as safe as possible. I'm talking about securing them in booster seats between the ages of 4 and 8, or until they are at least 4 feet 9 inches tall. Booster seats are safe, smart, and the law in Maine. They lift a child up so that a seatbelt fits properly. Seatbelts should never rub against necks, be wrapped around backs, or be tucked under arms. Learn more at buckleupmaine.org. The Maine Bureau of Highway Safety wants you to survive your drive.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Your engine's piston has it bad. Up and down the cylinder, again and again, like the eternal labors of some fallen Greek hero. Does it complain? Ponder its ultimate purpose? Not the piston. But after 75,000 miles, you need to switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil with conditioners that help rejuvenate aging seals to prevent engine failure. Now you will not hear that from your piston. The piston keeps it all inside. After 75,000 miles, switch to Valvoline Max Life in the red bottle, because there's a lot of car left in your car.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are speaking with Josh Fifield. He's with Clark Insurance, and we are talking about right now new products and a very scary thing, cyber liability. You know, it's interesting, Josh. I've had some discussions with your organizations in, about cyber liability and things that you never think about. What if a thumb drive disappears? What if a laptop gets taken? What if a cell phone gets taken? What if, there's so many what ifs, what if you have a data breach? What if you have, you know, a mobile app and it creates a problem? There are so many things. You talk about not getting out of bed in the morning. You know, the poor IT people, you know, I say they have just got their heads, you know, wound tight as a drum on this stuff. So tell me a little bit about this new product, exposure risk, if you want to call it, because I think it really is a big deal, especially for companies that now have cyber issues, cloud computing, and different aspects that are out there in cyber.
You're right, absolutely. And I could see an IT person's head spinning just as much as an HR person's head spinning as well. You know, I think the realization is that the exposure has been there. It is now here, and it's apparent to everyone. And I think there's some myths out there of perception as to maybe this isn't going to hit me. Maybe I'm not a big corporation. I'm not the TJX's of the world, or the Sony's, where you've heard some, or the Hannaford brothers, you know, in the Northeast, where they've actually been loss of data stolen from employees and or customers. And that's a scary proposition. There are new products out there, and they've been out for a little while, and they continue to develop. And there are some strong insurance companies standing behind them that specifically are covering cyber liability. Cyber liability includes first party, third party, and also some expense type of coverages. So we're talking about coverages that are not currently covered on most employers' general liability policies. And if they have some fiduciary coverages that are available, there's probably some limited coverage that's available. They should be checking or talking with their brokers or their agents to help better understand how better to enhance those policies. We're talking about protecting the employees' information in this regards. So every company has an exposure with regards to cyber liability because they have employees' personal information. That personal information, whether it be an address, whether it be a zip code, whether it be obviously their credit card information, social security number, any of that information in the wrong person's hands can be detrimental to that employee and or that customer. The scary thing that's out there, and I don't mean to sound like that from an insurance side, it's the fear factor. However, each state has these regulations that are very different than from each other. Some states require that the attorney general be notified if one of their state residents gets a breach from one of the, you know, say they went shopping in a retail store in another state, and here this company for this one state isn't aware of another state's protocols, that they then, if a breach happens, has to then notify the state attorney for the other state and spend money to put identity theft and fraud alerts on that customer's information. It could be mind-blowing in what the costs are. There are some studies done that show what an average breach cost per breach is for notifications to the state attorney general's office, to the employee, or whether or not to the customer. You know, they range from anywhere from $200 to $300 per case. And that's just the notification expenses. That's not the cost of the liability. To someone else out there, or a suit brought in, Or the loss of reputation damage to the customer, to the entity that actually suffered the breach. So there are some new products out there, and it's really, really important, because with those comes more applications, and with that comes more information, risk management information. And what I would say there is fill the application out, regardless of whether or not you think you have the exposure. After you fill an application out for cyber liability, you will understand better what your exposures really are.
Well, I know, I think about even an HR professional or a business leader that has a laptop and they have employee information in it, and in a blink of an eye, it's gone off a table, or a cell phone, which may have email, which has personal information in, and it's gone off a restaurant counter. And people say, or taken out of somebody's purse, or taken out of somebody's coat pocket. You know, the reality is today, even in this, from that aspect, you can have something happen without even knowing it. I mean, that's the amazing part. I mean, how many times have we had emails and Facebook and Twitter and some of the other accounts that have had information taken? So, you know, when you're thinking about this, folks need to understand that it's not just that it couldn't happen to you, it can. And over time, as it gets more risky, will happen to you.
It's a good point. And, you know, one of the mechanisms that gets put in place with the insurance, or prior to the insurance, or as a requirement of, you know, getting that type of coverage, is what security measures are you having as an employer in place now? One of the things that we're seeing more of, and in fact, our organization does have a cyber liability policy, and we have company phones that have information on them. We have smartphones, access points to get either emails or customer data information. And as part of the protocols that had to be put in place for us to even get the insurance is that we actually had to put on a certain type of application that allows us to remote wipe the data if it was to be lost. And there's studies talking about, you know, what is the cost of if you lost a laptop, and it could range anywhere from $50,000, you know, because that's the replacement cost, not just of what the laptop is, obviously, but it's the detection, it's the forensics, the data breach, lost, you know, internet protocol costs, lost productivity, legal consulting, and regulatory expenses, you know, and it's on average about $20,000 less if that computer is not encrypted. So there's mechanisms in place that the insurance companies want to do. They're best practices. I mean, again, the best thing you can do is help plan for this in advance. It helps the recovery process.
No, I think this is very important stuff. And, you know, I can imagine there are people listening saying to themselves, I may not have thought about this because, you know, it may not have happened to me, but, you know, it is a real risk, and I think that we need to take some time to look at that as an area. And if somebody was interested in learning more about that, how would they get a hold of you?
My contact information is on our website, clarkinsurance.com, and I can provide my email address or my contact information. Again, my name is Josh Fifield from Clark Insurance. I'm an accounting executive. My direct dial is area code 207-523-2255, and my email address is J. Fifield, Fifield, at ClarkInsurance, spelled out, .com.
Perfect. And if anybody after the show wants to click directly, they can go to the HRPowerHour.com website. We will have the link directly to Josh. We can go there. Josh, I want to thank you for being in the studio with me today and having a great show. I appreciate you taking the time to do so.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.